tell you a few things about grace as we're going to look at this text in the Messenger Bible. I think it says so well what a church been, what we've been to a large degree. But when you talk about dispensation, there are really seven dispensations in the Bible, seven major dispensations. If you mess around and trying to live in one and it's not functioning at that time, you will be out of wax, all right? I may tell you all of them tonight. I may deal with them. I know one is the dispensation of innocent. Another one is the dispensation of conscious. Now, the dispensation of innocent was Adam and Eve. The dispensation of conscious, it was Noah, when Noah had the order to take his family and the flood came. After the flood, you had the dispensation of human government. Now, that's when the Tower of Babel came. You know, human government, people just do anything. And then you have the dispensation of the promise that came to Abraham. And then you have the dispensation of the law came through Moses. And now we're dealing with the dispensation of grace was supposed to be, I may have missed one, the sixth dispensation. Now, dispensation, let's see what a dispensation means. It's a stewardship. It's a stewardship. It's a divine stewardship. It's another thing is a divine economy. Now, think about that. It's a divine economy whereby at this point you live by. And if you know the economy work like this, if you don't know how the economy work, you'll be in bad shape. So this dispensation is began with Christ at the cross, and then the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the birth of the church, and it will end in the rapture. So now we in the final stage, the last living dispensation until the seventh one comes. That's after the tribulation period. You know, that's getting deep now, getting revelation. But this dispensation, we're not living in the other five. We're living in this one now. You know, we're living in a dispensation of grace, of God's love, God's overwhelming favor toward us. And you see, if you don't know that, what's going to happen? You're going to try to use the Bible, and you're going to try to use prayer to take the place of the dispensation. You can't do that. You use the prayer and the Bible in the dispensation. And so I thought these verses here, let's go back to these verses in Matthew 11. I thought these verses, now that's 11:28 in the King James Version. But the Messenger Bible said just right, because I believe it bespeak at large what the church been going through. It asks a question. Are you tired? Yes. Tired being sick, tired being broke, tired praying all night long, and I'm tired. Yeah, I want some miracles, signs, and wonders to have in my life. I want some freedom. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want worry. I don't want to have fear. I don't want to have anxiety. I don't want all this mess in my life. If you say this life is good, let it happen then. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm tired waiting and believing. Something ought to happen. And in reading, we say it's not happening, it cannot happen if you're trying to perform it. If you're trying to, and if you're living under condemnation, every little wrong you do, you're condemned. You're living under punishment. You don't know whether you're going to heaven or not. You don't know whether you're going to make it, you know what I'm saying? Because the wrong teaching. Now, we're in a position where Jesus can come alive in our lives. Where the Holy Spirit can come alive, where the Word of God can come alive in our life. Didn't we have a good class last night? Good class last night. We dealt with it last night. All right. Worn out. Yes, I'm worn out. My knees hurt. Worn out. Burnt out on religion. Yes. See, there's three, that I love it. Look. Burnt out on religion. Then Jesus said, all right, come to me. Get away with me, and you will what? What life? I tell you what life. The life of faith. The life of faith. The life the life that help you enter into the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2:8. Look at it. Look at it. Look at Ephesians 2:8. Got faith in there. The Bible said, "The just shall live by faith." But if you try to live by faith alone and don't recognize the dispensation you're living in, then you'll be invalidated in your prayer, invalidated in your confession, your declaration, your decree, what you're believing for, because you have to operate in the dispensation in which God operating in. You have to be a steward of the life of Christ. You have to be the steward of the resurrection, steward that you're crucified with Christ. Follow me now, follow me, follow me. See, if not, this is a humdrum. It's almost a humdrum life. We get a little sprinkle every now and then of God's goodness, but God is a whole lot, if you want to, I don't know if it's good anger, gooder than we know. But if we start understanding where we are, we're not under the law, we know we're not innocent. That was Adam and Eve, they didn't know nothing about no sin. All right? So put it back up. Don't take it down. I need to stay up. I need to go back. Oh, you're trying to? No, I don't want to go there. I want to go back to Matthew's in that Message of Bible because I want to put pen some. Go back there. Because I started to recover your life. Now he said, "I'll show you how to take a real rest." Thank you, Jesus. I need it. Go to the 29th verse now. Go to the 29th verse. I want you to see these things. Walk with me and work with me. Now, there is a work we have to do, but it's not a performance. We got to preach the gospel. We got to help people, right? And we got John 14:12, the work that I do shall you do, and greater work than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. We got all that, but we can't get the works mixed up with your lifestyle. See, the lifestyle going to enable you to do the work. But the work is not your personal agenda. That's already been taken care of. See, that's helping other people get in. Harvest is great, the labor is a few. That's what that is about, okay? Now, it says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Watch how I do it. Now, when we try to mix the law, the Ten Commandments, and grace, we're not watching. Watch how I do it. Learn not. Can you highlight, learn the unforced rhythm of grace? Learn the unforced rhythm. Y'all got a new machine back there. Can y'all work it? Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. You write that down. You need to write that down. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. It's an unforced rhythm. It's a rhythm. You get a rhythm in your life. Things go to working. Your prayer go to working. Your scripture, every scripture you read go to working. You say, "Oh man, this is like magic." No, that's the master. But in the church, because of improper teaching, improper understanding, we don't learn. I like that statement. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. And then he says, "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you." That's y'all good. Highlight that too. See, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. See, that's that grace, you see. They're trying to get it. Go to the next verse. 30th verse. Then I'm gonna go to work. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live. Ooh, Jesus. How you learn to live? Now, I'm to say to you, from 30 years experience, then I have an anointing, a calling from God as an apostle and a pastor. I'm going to say to you today that we haven't been living that. And I'll say to you the reason why is because we have not been taught properly. We've been taught told what to do and what not to do, and never was told what to do according with the life of the grace lifestyle, all right? Living the life of grace. So what want you to write this down. Learning and living the unforced rhythm of the life of grace. And just keep reading that over and over again. It's unforced. You don't have to force it. You know, because we've been in the wrong dispensation, we've been trying to force a lot of stuff. We're trying to force it by prayer, force it by our confession, put a card in our pocket, say it over and over again. And it still hasn't happened like it should. Now, let's go to Ephesians 3. And let's see, Ephesians 3. How many verses? I'll just read the first verse to tell you what Paul is. Ephesians 3:1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He said he's a prisoner for us. But now in the second verse, he says, you know what he says? If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you what? Now, what Paul is doing there in writing to the church at Ephesus, this is a letter. He's not speaking to me. He wrote this letter to him. He's trying to turn the same ship that I'm trying to turn at that time. He's trying to turn it, and it's not easy to turn because those Jews fought against him. Those organized religions fought against him. Because they was in a comfort zone. Now, here's where you need to be. Not in a comfort zone. I know he said come in and give you comfort, but you have to be to operate, function properly and with results. You have to learn how to get on the cutting edge of grace. Operate on the cutting edge. You see, because the Lord will take care of you there. If you get out there, the Lord will take care of you. You follow me? Now he says, and when I was meditating this verse and praying about teaching this about Paul, if you have heard, verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of what? Which is given me to you what? That's why I say I'm now here some 2,000 years later trying to do exactly what Paul tried to do with the churches at his time. Trying to turn us from the law, turn us from religion, turn us from tradition, turn us from denomination. Same parallel. And I'm saying the same thing. If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Because this is the gospel. This is the dispensation. This is what Jesus died for. For us to be free. For us to be victorious. Are you following me? But you cannot do that by your performance, by your self-effort. You cannot do that being condemned, being worried. Thank you under the curse. Think you can lose your righteousness in 3 days. You cannot. And I taught that, and we've been teaching that. You know, you might miss it. Might miss it if you mess up one time. But that's not the Bible. That's not true. That's not under the dispensation of grace. We got to get it straight. You got to get all this off your back, worried about because you made a mistake, you're unrighteous now. No, you're not unrighteous. You need to know that the Holy Spirit will convict you of righteousness before he convict you of sin. Because a righteousness is more higher on his calendar than sin. Sin is about Satan. You do not have a sin nature, but in your body, sometimes your mind, you mess up. There's no excuse for it, but it doesn't mean you're going to hell. It doesn't mean that God's going to beat you all across the head now and God out to get you and God kind of watch you see what you do wrong. Talk to him. See, some Christians don't even have nothing to enjoy if nobody ain't falling. They don't have some church gossip. Man, I really thought she was a Christian. No, you need to be praying for that sister. So he said, if you have heard of the dispensation, how many of y'all now understand what dispensation is? It's a stewardship. I said, what else I said it is? It's economy. All right, let me say it another way. It's a divine arrangement. Another way you can say it is an administration. So we're under the administration, the economy of the kingdom when you talk about grace. Now, as soon as I read this, I thought about something. He says, Paul said, if you have heard. If you have heard, see, he said, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace. And you know, some of y'all can sit and say, no, I heard about grace, but not about no dispensation. So what happened if you don't hear? You can't have it. Look in the 19th chapter of Acts. Same thing happened about the Holy Ghost. 19th chapter of Acts. When I read that and I was in prayer, it came the same thing. Same thing happened. The guy said, have you received the Holy Ghost? God said, I haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Ghost. And I came through that segment because I came out of the Baptist, and then I had a Baptist church, and then we were trying to move in deeper dimension of the Spirit. So this is not my first time making a leap and ready for the bullets, because I just want to grow. I just want to get deeper in the things of God. It doesn't matter who fight it. They can't finish what they start, because God is with me, because I'm with his word. So you look in the 19th chapter back, what you're going to see there is Paul trying to administer the Holy Ghost. Then he asked the guy, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? God said, I haven't heard whether there is any Holy Ghost. So a person can say the same thing, I haven't heard of anything such as grace living this life. This is too good to be true. You telling me tonight I'm a Christian, I'm not going to hell? You telling me I can make mistakes and God still love me? Now, see, the average minister fight this because if you don't have revelation, you're blind. You still want to preach that old do-don't gospel. And no, I'm not for sin. But if I can get you to understand grace, grace is going to cause you to reject sin. There's a scripture in the Amplified Bible. Turn to Titus. And we look at verses 10 and 11 in this. You put it in the Amplified Bible back there. You put it in the Amplified Bible. I think it's better. Titus 2, 11, I think it's 11 and 12 or 10 and 11? 11 and 12, all right. Give me 11 in the Amplified Bible. You got the Message Bible up there. That's good, but I want to show you something. Grace sound weak, but it's strong. And it will cause you to reject sin. Grace will enable you, listen to me, because this is a word we don't hear too much. Grace will enable you to walk in sanctification and holiness. Grace will change your conduct before the Ten Commandments again. Grace will love will change you faster than damnation. A love message will change you faster than a damnation message. Yes, see? And so what we're dealing with here, for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, see, that's the Amplified Bible, has come forward, appeared for the deliverance from sin, and the eternal salvation of all mankind. Now, hold it there. Go back. Deliverance from sin. Right now, I'm delivered from sin. Yeah, see, now it's S-I-N. That's the original sin nature. I'm delivered from that. It don't have no authority over me. All right? I'm delivered from sin. You got it? I'm delivered from sin. Now watch what it says next. And the eternal salvation of all mankind. In other words, I'm delivered from sin and I have eternity. Now the next verse really going to show something about grace that I mean just outstanding. Take it to the next verse. Take it to the next verse. Look at this. The subject is grace. The subject is grace. Look what it says. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness. What do that? Grace. Not the law. Not condemnation. Not punishment, but something God have given us unmerited, something we can't earn. Why we got so much sin in the church at large? You know we got a whole lot of stuff going on in the church. People are living all kind of ways. And these are Christians. These are people who love God. These are people who are not going to hell. But these people are messing their life up down here because they don't know what to do. Yeah. Notice what it says. It has trained us to reject and renounce. Reject and renounce. No, I'm not going to do that. And grace wrapped in God's love, constantly talking to you. God gave his only begotten son. Jesus died for me to live free. See? And you walk in that grace and say, it has trained us to reject, renounce all ungodly, irreligion, and worldly, passionate desire to what? To live what? What that mean? To live decree. What does discreet mean? With discretion. Not doing every damnable thing come up. I belong to somebody. I'm a 1 Corinthians 6:20 Christian. Look at it quickly. And I'm a 1 Corinthians 9:27 Christian. Look at it quickly. And I'm a Romans 12:1 Christian. Look at it quickly. Hurry up. Y'all too slow. 1 Corinthians 6:20. I'm bought with a price. That's the right one? What did it say? I'm bought with a price. What I'm going to do now? I'm going to glorify God with my body because I have enough grace to give me strength. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I didn't go to that one a long time ago. Is that the right one? Keeping your body under? Yeah. Then Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice. You can do this if you understand grace, but you're not going to be able to do this by performance. You got to do this by receiving. Yes, sir. By believing. Yes, scary and worried people ain't going to do nothing. They just be scary. To live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole. Live in this present world. Yes, sir. Now, there's a scripture here that I want to teach you that you can handle this thing. Turn to 1 John now, 5:18. And 1 John 5:4. I want to go both of those scriptures now. Now, see, I talked to my class last night, and I made a word up last night. All scripture need to be grace-anized. In other words, if you're in Colossians, you have to understand you got to get the grace out of the scripture. See, the grace said that I deserve it because God made me possible to deserve it. Right. Now, why tell you turn? Why tell you turn? Now, this is a peculiar voice. Put 1 John 5:18 because I'm going to try to walk it kind of fast. That's 1 John 5:4. No, that's the right one. We know that whosoever is born of God. How many of y'all are born of God? That's talking about the born again experience, right? Whosoever is born of God, sin is not. Well, who in y'all don't sin? I want to see you because I want you to lay your hand on me. But now we don't have to be afraid anymore. Now, we're not going to practice sin. I'm not talking about, you know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about if I mess up, I'm still a Christian. And a Christian, you ain't going to keep on messing up.
No. Not at all, Pastor.
Amen. See, now, I question the person's salvation there. You probably just keep playing around with the thing. You know, are you, what you really saved or not?
Amen.
I mean, just damn, just doing damnable things, just doing it, just be doing it. I don't believe in that. No. I don't believe in sin. But I got to get God people from under condemnation. And so he says, now, this is powerful. And you could not, without understanding the disposition of grace, you could not explain this word. We know that whosoever is born of God, all right, I'm born of God. Yes. Sin is not. So when I sin, my past, present, and future sin already taken care of. Some of y'all don't want to say amen because y'all trying to hold on to that old dog, but you better turn him loose. He got the mange. I mean, his hair coming off him. Then it goes on to say, but he that is begotten of God. How many of y'all begotten of God? Born of God, begotten of God. What did he say next? What did he say next? What? What? Now, what that mean? What that mean, keeping himself? We say you can't be trying to handle things yourself. You can't try to perform things. Keep yourself in the eyes of God. Keep yourself in grace. Keep trusting God. Keep it himself. And that wicked one touches him not. Ephesians 4:27. Now, this verse makes sense. Your grace will dodge it. I got a shout one for you next. Neither give place to the devil. Now, the Lord shouldn't tell me don't give the place to the devil if I can't stop him. Huh? And one translation said, don't give the devil no foothold. Now, you have to know you can do this. You have to know you can miss it, but he still can't have a foothold. And then I was going, you ain't going out here and sin on purpose, are you? No, I ain't going to sin on purpose. And none of us perfect in our action, but yet we're covered with perfection. Now, with this in mind, if you understand this lesson you're being taught and understanding this unfolds rhythm of grace lifestyle, and grace is, living in grace is it's irreversible. You can't reverse my blessing. He whom the Lord blessed, you can't curse. Now we read this verse. I'm about to give you a verse now. We read this verse and we shouted on this verse and we talked about this verse. Now we're about to live this verse. John 10:10. We're about to live this verse because now when you got your eyes open gracefully, you know the thief cannot steal, kill, and destroy you. So the next life for you to live is the other side. You can live now the abundant life. The reason we have not been living the abundant life, we've been trying to live the abundant life by what we do. But the abundant life is based on what he did. The abundant life includes the benefits and the blessing and the stopping. Wait a minute now. The benefit, the blessing, and the stopping. Somebody tell me what I'm talking about now. The abundant life consists of the benefit, the blessing, and the stopping. They all got to be rolling. And what I'm talking about? The stopping, what that is? The enemy, I heard it. Stopping Satan. Why we think we read 1 John 5:18 before I came over there? Why you think I took you to Ephesians 4:27? Why you think I'm taking you now to Luke 10:19? Why you think I'm taking you to those places? Because you have that authority, but it cannot be... You cannot function in it unless you understand that the finished work of Christ created something called grace that I didn't earn, that is an unmerited favor, but everywhere I go from this day forward, I have preferential favor. God always before me, making a way for me that it seemed like it didn't have no way, but because I'm blessed, come on. Talk to me, I said, because I'm blessed. See? He said, I open doors for you no man can close. Now I can understand that. I shut doors that things was coming through. Things was coming through to hold me back. Grace was shut those doors. You understand it? And it all based on the finished work of Christ. Christ died. Christ took my place. Christ took my sin. Christ took my sickness. Christ took my poverty. Christ took my unrighteousness. Christ gave me his righteousness. Christ gave me his wealth. Christ gave me his health. That's all in grace. It's not in the law. The law, I see the law about the fourth dispensation was the law. The law was with Moses. When the law was given, 3,000 died. When grace come, 3,000 got born again. So now, when I say put a grace in the verse, you've been in the church a long time. Without understanding the dispensation of grace, this verse had its challenges. But if you go back to 1 John 5:18, this verse is not a challenge no more. The thief can't steal. He can't kill. He can't destroy. If I got the ability to stop him, according to 1 John 5:18, I shut the wicked one out. Here's how you shut the wicked one out. I made a mistake. I ain't going under. I'm going to raise my hand and say, Lord, I made a mistake. I changed my mind. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So Satan don't have a chance. Satan catch stupid people, stupid Christian, ignorant Christian, Christian who have ignored good teaching. That's the one he will. They're still a Christian, but they will never live the benefits and the blessing and the bounties that God wants them to have. Don't look at me now, I'm not saying nothing. Look at John 5:4. Don't look at me like I'm not saying nothing. I'm saying something. I ain't going to take that off of you. Listen, because your life needs a change. I talk about victory now. Talk about victory, 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 victory. Talk about faith victory. Trying to use faith without grace, you ain't going to get no victory. You always got to go back to where you originated from. You originated from, watch how easy it is. You originated from Ephesians 2:8. Because we're going to get where we're going. You're not going to ever understand the unsearchable riches of Christ if you don't understand the exceeding riches of his grace. Yes, sir. When you understand the exceeding riches of his grace, then you're going to start stepping into the unsearchable riches of Christ. Thank you, Lord. So that's every blessing that Christ said you can have. But you're going to have to be grace orientated that your faith have something to work with. Yes, sir. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. See? Now, just this few moments. You done got in a battle position to win. You know you have the authority to stop Satan. Yes, sir. Right? Yes, sir. But it's in Christ. In the blood. In the finished work of Christ. Yes, right? Yes, it's not a formula. It's a fact. Yes, see, now a lot of formulas we've been using in the church because we know about the name of Jesus and we know, but you got to have the whole picture. Because no matter what you do, if you're not in the right dispensation, you're not going to work right. No matter how many well you dig for, if you're on the wrong, you done read the map wrong, you're on somebody else's land, and they know all on the land, they check the land down the street, you drilling down here, you can drill all you want. You can have the best drilling machine, but you ain't going to get no oil. So what I'm telling you, we want to strike all. And so there's a lot of all, God. There's a lot of all in this book. But you got to be in the right position to get the all. We had the right equipment. We got the Bible. We got a hymn book. We got robes. You follow what I'm saying? Man, this thing, I'm going wild with this thing. This thing is out of sight. Oh, the people of God, I'm telling you, just keep coming. It might all dawn on you tonight, but because you got a spirit, this thing going to dawn on you. Some stuff you've been putting up with, you're going to rise up and say, oh, no, I'm not putting up with that no more. I know who I am in Christ, and I know who Christ is in me, and I'm ranking in the right dispensation, the dispensation of God's grace. Go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 3:2, because I want to read down a bit there. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of who? Which is given me to you all. So the Apostle Paul said the dispensation or the revelation of the dispensation of grace was given to me by God for you. Now, listen up. I'm saying the same thing to you tonight. I'm teaching what Paul taught those people. Matter of fact, go to the Acts 20:24. Well, Acts 20. I might want to read a few more verses there because I want to make it clear and vivid. Hallelujah. We all know it's more, right? Now, don't let nobody talk you out of this.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
She got people trying to talk you out of it. Man, I want to. Let me see. You remember when the Lord was restoring Peter? And Peter had denied him three times, and he restored Peter three times. And he asked Peter, Peter was a fisherman by trade. And he asked Peter, Peter was messing around with his boat and nets. And he asked Peter, love me more than you love these? And then he said, feed my sheep. Notice he didn't say beat the sheep. Feed my lamb. I mean, they're not your children. So if they mess up, let me take care of them. You just feed them. Well, some sheep get beat every Sunday morning, get their tail whooped when they walk in the door. Because if you don't know no better. I got to tell you all that part. Don't look at me all sad like y'all so deep. I just got to tell you about that part. You know what I'm talking about. Because I did it something myself. Don't be amen too much when I say that here. Because I kind of go easy, you know. Say it, bump your head one time. Don't say no more. Don't agree with me when I'm talking by myself. All right. So Acts 20:28, always one of my favorite verses. Paul talking to pastors. He said, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself and to all the flock. Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourself and to all the flock. Now watch, I'm going to show you something. I'm not getting full of my notes, but I just want to give you, and I'll go over this 55,000 times I have to. 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer. See, that's government there. To feed the church of God what you have purchased with his own blood. See, then he talk about the wolf. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolf, not just wolf, grievous wolf, enter in among you. Look at what he said he's going to do. Not sparing the flock. Also of your own self. See, that's why you got to have a leader. You can't put a church on remote control, baby. You got to have somebody watching the flock. You see what I'm saying? All right, watch what happened. And also of your own self should men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples themselves. Well, they're all watching, remember. That's not what I want to show you. I just want to show you that, but I want to show you. Go back to the 24th verse. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the what?
Ministry.
And the what?
Ministry.
And the what?
Which
I have what?
Received.
Where are you receiving from?
The Lord Jesus.
To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, you get Paul in Galatians chapter 1. He writing to the church at Galatia. He said, it said two voices, one back on back. If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Sadly to say, ladies and gentlemen, because of a lack of full revelation of the grace of God, somewhat, we've been preaching another gospel. God blesses us. We accomplish a lot of things. I had grace in my message and a lot of other insight in my message, but by the same token, you will never be able to function like you're going to be able to function now. Because, you know, we talk about the full gospel, but the full gospel got to be full of grace. Charismatic got to be full of grace. Word of faith, you got to have grace. But you can name on what you want. But if that grace is not there, it's not going to work. Why Christians keep falling? Turn to Romans chapter 5. We have access to something we didn't know what it was. See? We take that access, habits. Things have been holding you in bondage for years. You can break that thing after you find out how much God loves you and get all this condemnation off your back for what wrong you've done and get a chance to breathe tomorrow or tonight or sometime. Notice Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep rolling. Give me the second verse. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that, Carol. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. Now, flip-flop that. Go opposite. Fall. That's right. You fall. You fall. You can't even got nothing to stand on. See, we've been trying to stand on faith without grace. Talk to me. All right. I want to keep taking you back to your original stuff you're made out of. Go back to Ephesians 2:8. Go back to the original stuff you're made out of. See, this is spiritual. But go back to the original. Go back to the original stuff. And you, matter of fact, back up to that seventh verse. Let's look at the seventh verse. I think y'all need that seventh verse in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 2:7. Ephesians 2:7 and 2:8. Give me 2:7. That's 2:7, I think. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his what? Free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Hold that right there. Let us get this. Hold that right there. Put immeasurable. Highlight immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free gift. Just put the whole thing color. Because we're going in what we're made up of. You see, sometimes people make a mistake and they come to the church and they don't get fed. They get misled. They get hurt. And they feel sorry and they ain't got nobody to help them. That's not what grace is all about. Are you following me? Go to the next verse. Had to highlight that whole verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. No other way to get saved. You got it? For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. What is a what? A gift of God. You like that? It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. All right, so that's the way you were saved. Yes, sir. Now, all right, so that's the ingredient that got me saved. Now, I'm going to tell you two things Satan really fight. Two things he fight. He fight grace and he fight righteousness. Right. Yes, see, we've got to study righteousness, being right standing with God, but I'm going to take you over there quickly. I'm going to shoot you over there. I want to go back to Romans 5. Anybody in here having any trouble, trials, tests, temptation? Romans 5. Get me back to Romans 5, 2. But where we had that access. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Into this grace. It's this grace. This grace. Now, I'm going to show you something now. THISGRACE. The church have been a DISGRACE. Broken is not no joke. You know what I'm saying? And it shouldn't be, because prosperity belongs to the child of God. It's three major things Christ dealt with. In Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, eternal life, sickness, and poverty. So we ought to be, and I believe every person here, the Bible says, beloved, I worship all things, your prophets and being held even. I believe every person in here, I don't care if it's a little child, I believe if you've been going to church anytime, your soul should have some prospering in it. And so if your soul should have, your body ought to be prospering. And your money ought to be prospering. Did you cut your hair?
Yes, sir.
Your money ought to be prospering. I thought that was you. I thought, trying to figure out, that was you. Your money should be, you should have plenty of money.
That's right. Amen.
You should have plenty of health.
Amen.
And you ought to die when you get ready.
That's right.
Because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. But we got access by faith into this grace when we stand. And give me the next verse. Watch this. What time? How much you had on the clock? Y'all stop putting 45 minutes. Put an hour on there. I'm busy now. And not only so, but with glory, what? I don't know about it. Glory and tribulation. See, but Lord, I permit me to say this. I'm going to do a little street talk now. When you operate in grace, you're bad. Satan knows it. He knows you can handle it. See. And not only so, but with glory and tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Keep going. Give me the next verse. And patience, experience. And experience hope. Hold up. See, God God permits some things sometimes for you to have some exercise. He's not doing it, but He permits some things, and that you can exercise your patience and your experience, and then now you're ready. Your future get brighter. Because if you can't handle your present, you can't handle your future. If you can't handle $4,000, you can't handle $40,000. You're just going to be crazy, y'all. So God watch over His children. And you get your money, you get everything. You get your healthy body. I don't care how long you've been sick. I ain't got no time for this. I don't care how long you've been sick. When you learn the truth about your body and how to walk with God, you're going to stand, and you're going to stand, and you're going to stand. And you're not going to complain. You're going to stand. You're going to stand. Take your medicine, stand. Take your medicine, stand. Say what? Say, I'm healed. Take some communion. Go to the next verse. And hope making not ashamed. Now. Go to, hold it right there. Don't change that. You go in your Bible. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Now, the question is, what salvation mean? Now, here's a horse we've been riding for a long time. I think I got you further than that, though. People think salvation means I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I'm going to give you a few of them. I know wholeness, healing, prosperity, preservation, soundness. See, salvation don't mean I'm just saved. It means I'm saved and blessed. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad. I heard it, Lord. I'm going to go there. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. All right. Turn to Hebrews 12:2, because we got to get rid of the shame. Hey, you got to get rid of the shame. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Then it talks about not being ashamed here. We got to get rid of shame. When you make a mistake, or when you bleed for a house and a car didn't come through, you ain't got to be ashamed of the other person. But they didn't believe for something they didn't get. Matter of fact, don't tell them all your business. Tell them when you get it. Come see it. Because sometimes you tell them it's kind of rough. How you know they like you? All right, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. What? All right, now, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know why He wasn't ashamed? He knew where He was going, and He knew He was going to get there. Sometimes there are temporary delays. Listen to me. When you're operating properly, you're loving God, you're doing it. Sometimes there's temporary delays. There's traps and booba traps and things putting your way. But hold tight, because you know where you're going. Huh? Also, there's no condemnation. Turn to Romans 8:1. I want you to see that again. To them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. One translation says, they just said there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Then they tell us about the great law in the next verse. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I went over there for a reason. There's not no condemnation when you're operating in a dispensation of grace. There's no condemnation, but there's a verse in that Sam chapter, and it's a spirit chapter, but you get down to the end of that chapter, we need to find it. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. What verse that is? Because I want you to know, understanding grace, even though I make a mistake, there's no separation. Amen. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. See, one of the things you got to know, it's not how much you love God, how much God loves you. You raise up in the morning and say, God, I know you love me. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how you feel. God, I know, thank you. I know you love me. And Lord, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, I tell myself that all the time. God loved me. Just as I am. Mistakes and all. Some of y'all scared to say that. Y'all scared to say that. But that's truth, you know you got them, God, but God loved me. And what going to happen when you understand God loves you and he's not condemning you, that love is going to be so powerful in due season that you're going to walk right out what Satan been trying to do to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But you're not going to get out by condemnation.
That's right.
You're not going to get out by being scorned by your fellow man. And I see people got a tendency to kiss them. They catch one scripture and won't lock down the entire Bible. They have one man, I think he messed with his stepmother in Corinthians. And Paul told him to put him out of the church. Now they won't put all of us out with that one text. Trying to prove a doctrine with one scripture. Paul finally told him that now that he suffered enough, bring him on back. But he wanted him to feel it. Listen, if I have to move in this church, I'm going to move. You can hear me preaching. If I have to move, I'll move. You all have seen me move before when people don't want to listen, just want to do what they want. God tell me, I won't pay no attention. What you here for? Wednesday night, I'm asking. I said, well, look, ma'am. I said, ma'am, get your child straight. I don't never pay no attention. Hunter, look, Hunter, playing checkers. I said, get our tail out of here. She said, I ain't going. I said, Usher, pick her up. I'll pay for it. They told her out the back door because she wasn't here. She was only here to mess up the rest of the people. Paul watched that girl for a long time. But then he called that demon out of her. I was wondering why, how long Paul going to go. And then the first thing, I was fooled because she was saying nice stuff. These are the most, I said, man, and I'm a Baptist boy. I said, why you mess with that nice lady? I don't know about no demon. Demon hide. Go back to Acts 20:32. Because now you're about to be built and inherit. But the only way that can happen is functioning in the type of faith that comes from the word of grace. See? See, he's talking about the word of grace, which is able to build you up. I recommend you to the word of his grace. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and what? Give you what?
Inheritance.
Notice he didn't say the word of faith there. Didn't say the word of faith, did it?
No,
not the word of faith. We got saved by the word of faith, but I'm telling you, grace was in on it. But see, we try to live a faith life without a grace life. You know, some things happen for us. But I mean, I want the whole package.
Yes,
I want the full blessing.
Yes,
huh? Two or three more minutes. Satan can entrap the law, but he cannot stop grace. Here's why. Do you want me to tell you? She said, a lot of times we've been trapped because we were functioning with scriptures, with prayer, with confession, but we still were doing it on our own ability. And Satan knew that, so he let you go. He let you go to church. He let you read, go to prayer meeting. But he's going to whip you every time unless you know how to operate in grace. Yes, I'm going to tell you. Satan cannot entrap the law, but he cannot stop grace. Here's why. He understands the law, but he can't understand grace. Let me prove that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Where's my Bible at? Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Let me prove that. Had he known? See, he don't know that. See, he don't know grace. Had he known, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Kill his own crazy self. Suicide. See what I'm saying? See, he understands the law, but he can't understand grace. He can't understand how a man died, got up on the third day, and set all us free. Amen. Who believed? I mean, God had one for Satan. Satan couldn't handle him. He couldn't handle Jesus. I say Satan couldn't handle Jesus. What voice is it? Preachers? Y'all haven't found the voice yet? Voice what? 8. 1 Corinthians 2:8. Go back to the 7th verse. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, glory to God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now we're able to live in his glory. Didn't know what they're doing. The same way Satan do not know what he's doing when he put his hand on a child of God. That child of God might turn any moment in the power of the Holy Ghost or in the power of Jesus and wipe him out. Whatsoever you bind on earth, I bind in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, I loose in heaven. These are our authorities, but we got to have a grace belt on. You got to recognize it's not you doing it. Let's close with Hebrews 4:16. Begin to pray that as I teach you this, begin to pray that. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Amen. Amen. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? What are you saying? I'm saying that some needs you have had, you went to other places to get the answer. Other places in the Bible. But that's the place you won't go right there. Because you got it right. Because there were many priests, and they didn't, in the tabernacle where the priests worked, where they was killing them goats and calves for the sin under the commandment, they didn't have no seat because those priests' job never stopped 24 hours a day. But our priests sat down. And there was another veil. There was a veil cut in two when he was on the cross. That veil was cut in two, but there was another veil. The veil of his flesh is the veil that was pierced, that we might go through to God personally. Now, we don't have to go to no boot. I've been in a boot as a Catholic boy and tell the priest, did the priest, they said 3 Hail Marys and 4 Our Fathers. I ain't felt no dim. I went out the next night and got drunk again. Because you got to go. You can go directly to God yourself. I don't know. Did you get some of this? Think I'm closing, but think about what you've been dealing with now. Some of y'all are dealing with sickness in your body. You're dealing with finances. Talking about you can't find a wife and can't find a husband. No, there ain't no such thing. You can't. Can't have a baby. What do you mean you can't have a baby? Is babies to be had? You got a husband? Not a person I laid hand on came out barren. Not a person. Only believe. I've had many men and women come to this altar and they say, Pastor Tom, we've been trying to have a child for 5 years. Oh, no problem. Bam, boom. Next 2 or 3 months, they're pregnant. I don't call a name. A major ministry. I laid hand on his daughter. I just passed by and I got a glimpse that she. I said, you got any children? She said, no. She said, I'm trying. I said, well, come here. You're going to have one now. She had it, had a miscarriage. They called me. They said, oh, she had a miscarriage. I said, oh, that's okay. Another one coming. She got her now. I laid a hand on a little girl tonight. I'll tell you what. I laid a hand on a little girl tonight. I was passing by. And I said, you want a child, don't you? She said, yes, sir. We've been trying 4 or 5 years. I said, all right, get your husband. Here we go. See, because I know my little sister had got some major operation. My baby sister had got major operation. And she wanted a child, had adopted a child. Spirit of the Lord came in right in this same church. I don't know if it's this church or another church. This church or the other church? Other church. Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I laid a hand on her. I mean, with some of her organ missing, she got pregnant. I'm thought because they see that. I'm talking about I'm trying to tell you. Maybe help me. An apocalypse. Undoubtedly, God put something back in there. She got a fine girl. Young, she's a young woman now. Oh, boy, we'd be glad. She probably wouldn't want to adopt none of that, girl to come first. You better be glad he got a good mama. She adopted him because she thought she wasn't going to have none. Sometimes I don't need your faith to help me. Sometimes I just need you to get neutral and just believe the man of God. And just don't believe nothing. Just let the Holy Ghost go ahead and do it for you. All right, all right. Praise God. Give the Lord some praise. All right, that's a lot more. That's a lot more, man. Lord have mercy. We'll get it, though. May I tell you one more thing before we receive the offering?